Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Your ears don't deceive you. You're welcomed back to another Break It Down with myself, Alex McCarthy. I am joined by Inside the Ropes guru, Kenny McIntosh, and WrestleMania is upon us. Kenny, how are you, my brother?
I'm good. I'm excited. I said to my other half the other day that I'm very glad he lost his passport last year, not this year. Because I think this year, I don't think I'd have been able to handle it. But yeah, I think it feels like the biggest WrestleMania in ages.
Yeah,
like it really does. I know that's mainly just the top match on each night, but I think, you know, with all the teases going on and stuff, I think it feels pretty big. How are you doing?
I'm good. As you know, it's been a real slog for me to confirm my WrestleMania attendance. So I, like you, would have been sick if I had missed out on, basically, as a huge Rock fan, and with just how hot the angle is and everything going into it, all the different sort of strokes of the paintbrush that there has been with all this story, I would have hated it. I don't know if I could have watched it, to be honest. I probably would have had to cover it, but it would have hurt. It would have hurt to watch that from home. But yeah, man, I'm super excited to get out there. Will be the first time I've seen The Rock in the flesh. So I'm very, very excited about that. Probably will be the biggest contributor to the pop when he comes out, abandoning all professionalism. So yeah, I can't wait for it, man. It's a long time overdue. I want to say, while we're on the subject, let's just kick off right here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last times that we spoke, I vividly recall being somebody who said, hey, man, maybe there's a plan, right? Maybe they've just pivoted and we'll like where we're going. I think it's safe to say, like a month or so on, 3 weeks, whatever it's been, we've got to be happy with how they've pivoted. Yeah, it wasn't the original plan. We all know that. But we've got to be happy with where we've ended up now, the direction we're heading in. And for my money, I've had, for the first time in 20 years, an actual rock run. It's been there every week.
It has. I mean, I think we talked about this on one of the podcasts we did, where I said, if I understand the idea of going, well, it's not the original plan, but if you like a movie, you don't go, well, Schwarzenegger wasn't meant to be Terminator. Like, you don't look at all that. You just kind of go, oh, that was great. And I think that the key thing to this is, and I'm praising Rock for your benefit because I know you appreciate it. He has committed to the role, and that's the key. Like, he has committed himself to the role. The stuff he was doing on Monday just makes you think. Because I think before we all thought, well, he's going to be like a double agent type thing. Like, he's, turn on Roman at WrestleMania. And as it got going, I think we were all kind of feeling like, this is too good for you to just do this for like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I think
I
he's
agree.
feeling that. They're feeling that. And, it wouldn't surprise me if we have Cody Rock at SummerSlam or something. It wouldn't surprise me if that was something we got, because I think, unlike Hollywood Rock, where he genuinely only did it for about, I think, 7 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Hollywood Rock. I obviously, and a lot of people remember it very fondly, but it was brief. Like, I don't think many people realize that. It kind of start, with the Hogan rematch around the Royal Rumble, and then it's done by WrestleMania.
And it's, whereas this one, it feels like this is a, I don't necessarily think after WrestleMania he's going to be there every week, but I think that he will. I don't think it's a case of he's going to be finishing up at WrestleMania and then we don't see him till the Rumble again or anything, which is what's happened before.
Yes.
So, and also because I think the thing before, I don't know how you feel, you might be too Stockholm syndrome than your Rock love. I've been there with wrestlers in the past myself as well, so it's not coming from a place of shade, but. The thing that was frustrating about the 2011 to 2013 Cena Rock run is we all knew that the end goal was going to be to get Cena over, which is
Yes.
what I don't think any of us wanted. So it's refreshing to know that all the stuff he's doing, there's not like a doom thing at the end of it. There's not a
No.
thing at the end that we're not going to look forward to. So I think, I'm sure you're going to bring up the angle from Monday where he made a surprise appearance and
Yeah.
beating the piss out of Cody Rhodes at the end. I mean, I would never have imagined that he would do something this good as a heel. I would have thought he was too vain to be a proper villain that way. But I'm really happy that he's embraced it. And he's the final boss. Moniker is great. I love that he just says fuck whenever he wants.
Yeah, we're so easy to please like
Oh yeah, just give me a
that,
swear word and I'm happy. So. Yeah, I think he's been smashing it, and I think it's also very smart to do a tag match because he's 52 or 51. He was 52 in
Yeah.
May, like,
Well,
so.
you kind of fool yourself into forgetting that because he is so fucking jacked. Do you know what I mean? Like you forget he is where he is. But as somebody pointed out on Twitter the other day, he's 2 years older than what Hogan was when they met at WrestleMania 18.
Yeah, but I think people will expect more of Rock than they expected of Hogan.
Absolutely.
Physically,
Rock was a better worker than Hogan ever was, in my opinion.
yeah. I mean, like today, like Rock at 51, you expect way
Yeah,
more.
but that's what I mean. Like, I carried those expectations forth with Hogan because I was like, okay, he's old and limited. Whereas, I never thought The Rock was limited. I think there's some terrible revisionist opinions of that on Twitter. We're like, he wasn't that good in the ring. Idiotic stuff. Idiotic stuff. But what I will say to what you just did, I didn't love the whole, as Rock's biggest fan, I was so buzzing to see him back. I didn't love the whole 2 year run with Cena. Thought it was pretty crap to be the host and then, the main event interference. Then you start a year long build. Then he wins it, which everyone was a bit like, oh, okay. Then he beats Punk, who was just on like a year plus tear as champion, like the second hottest thing in the company, or hottest, depending on who you speak to. Beats him for the title just so that Cena can get it again. And it was just like, oh, like it, I think I've said this before. You could telegraph that Royal Rumble where Rock beats Punk and Cena wins the Rumble a mile away, and that's what made it so shite. But this time, it does feel a lot grander. And I think Vince McMahon conditioned you and I, Kenny, and many others over the years to believe that less is more. right? Oh, you can't see too much of this. You know, these people are attractions, blah, blah, blah. You know, you only get snippets of them. You can't have them kind of, you know, thread throughout the show, et cetera, et cetera. Bollocks, Kenny. Let me tell you that in plain sight. In the Attitude Era, you didn't have to go, nope, can't have Steve Austin every week. It's just fucking, that is so, it's not just deluded, it's just a fabrication to make an excuse of why you can't pay them through the nose in a system that he basically created. He allowed wrestlers to get deals where they could get paid loads. You know, the Reigns calls it the Lesnar deal because it is, right? Like, Vince made that possible for people and kind of put the product at his mercy in some ways by doing it. I feel with Triple H, obviously, he just has a much greater understanding, but that coupled with the fact that The Rock is all in, right? He is a board member with TKO. It is in his interest that this succeeds, and you know, for not just for his vanity, for his business. So I think all the stars have kind of aligned on that. What I loved about Monday was A, the surprise. Like, you know, we all thought with the next time we were seeing him was the next Raw. So that pop you get is genuine, which is always incredible. And he's like soaking it in, and they're saying, you know, Rocky, Rocky. And it's like, holy shit, and all of this stuff. And then the second that he doesn't do what they want him to do, it's straight back to Rocky sucks. And they're all booing him out of the building. It was just masterful manipulation and reading of the room from him and WWE. I thought it was very, very well done.
And
Had us
also,
all scrap.
in Vince's WWE, that would have been the end of The Rock that night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, having a thread throughout the show, I wasn't watching that expecting to see The Rock again. So, you know, when the Bloodline, you know, you obviously your curiosity does arouse when they're still fighting backstage after the main event. You're thinking, what's going on here? But I would have more predicted like a shocked Roman appearance than Rock again or something like that. So I thought that was great. I thought it all led together perfectly. It's good to see The Rock kind of with the Bloodline as well, like rather than an adjacent member who's too big. Does that make sense? Like, it's cool that he was kind of in collusion with them to make this happen and to get to Cody.
Yeah.
So, because I don't know if people would have said The Rock is a full blown sort of Bloodline member, if you'd put that stable on his resume, but I think we can, which is cool. So, you know, as far as going into WrestleMania is right now, that angle is piping hot. And I don't think anybody can necessarily nail down exactly what's going to happen. I was the same as you, Kenny. I was at that school of thought that The Rock's going to screw over Roman at some point. I thought they'd probably win night one, then he screws him night two. But now, I think you're right. There's too much legs, you know, and people kind of want to see Rock versus Cody now. So, how do you do that and have Rock screw Roman? Presumably, you need, if you're going to do Rock Roman next year, you have to do the breakup at a later date.
We should mention the other thing that I think kind of solidifies the idea that he's not turning on Roman at WrestleMania, and that is the lingering camera shot on a truck that does not match
Yep.
the current trucks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. And
Because
wrestle was it, is it Wrestle Votes who said that nothing was done by chance? Like, it's all very deliberate.
yeah, and then they actually posted photos of the WrestleMania 40 trucks which they have in circulation now. That's the ones they're using. So this one was specifically brought, you know, put in that area, and it's got Cena and Austin on it. So if Cena and Austin are coming out to help, you know, the babyface teammates, Cody or whoever, then I think there's no way. Because in my mind, I think some people have bandied about the idea of, and I've only seen this movie once, and I don't know it well enough to quote it properly, but like in the Avengers movies, it's like the whole Thanos thing, but eventually everybody comes back to kind of get him. And I think the way you kind of get to it is you have Seth get beat by Drew in night two and have Seth injured, so he can't help in the main event. Maybe that brings out, you know, people that have been wronged by the bloodline, like Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens. And, you know, then if Rock is...
Well, who would be top of that list? Let's think about it, right? You've got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who obviously battled with them, and you would need to have them in there if you were telling that story. Cena has been crushed by Roman a few times, so he makes sense coming out.
Jey Uso.
Jey Uso, of course, as well. But then, I guess, Jimmy negates him. And then you've got maybe Solo and Cena, because, you know, that was a thing. And
then you could
presumably Austin, just based on history, is there to negate The Rock. And I don't know if that's wishful thinking from me, but no, the
I think
then...
you can also say Austin was retired by The Rock.
Yes, you could. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, as rivals go, I think it's possible, right? It's not the biggest stretch I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it also makes sense to have. I always remember at WrestleMania 32 where, and I remember being there live and being, because there was rumors all weekend that like Steve Austin was going to do something, Mick Foley was going to do something, and Shawn Michaels was going to do something. All their names had been bandied around that weekend, if you remember. And I thought, that's perfect. They are all going to be involved in Hell in a Cell. Like, Undertaker's at the history with Shawn, you know, Vince can get involved, which means that Austin is then at the history with Vince. You know, and it can all kind of, Foley's got the history with Undertaker, there's all this stuff, and it could just be this like amazing, overbooked, delicious goodness. And instead, all three of them came out to beat up the League of Nations. And Steve Austin then danced with the New Day, and we were forced to watch over 30 minutes of Undertaker not being able to beat Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was that.
So this time I'm ready for just go mental, go balls to the wall.
Yeah, so am I. Can I just quiz you on something quick?
Sure.
Do you believe in the phrase overbooked? Because I see a lot of fans kind of ban this around as if there is like a kind of true slate of wrestling that you should, you know, honor, and it's disgraced if you get too many people involved, and you know, it sullies the good old fashioned 101 one-on-one, as Shawn Michaels might have thought once upon a time. But I don't really believe in it. I think more chaos the better, and maybe that's just my taste. I'm sure if you are, you know, trying to make someone, there's ways to do it that are more helpful than others. But generally speaking, a lot of people just kind of link interference to overbooking, and I'm not actually sure they're mutually exclusive.
I think it depends on the context. Like, I think if you go back and look at the Sting and Triple H match from WrestleMania 31, it didn't really make sense. But
no.
But I think that it was just this moment where it was like, do you know what? I think fans will go mental for this and love it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Like, you know, seeing the people come out, I'll give them that. You know, did it make a lot of sense? No.
But I think with the bloodline and stuff, you obviously want it to make sense because it's this massive storyline. For me, if it was up to me and I was booking it, I'm happy to have... I think, you know, because the whole time it's been Roman Reigns has never been able to lose the belt because he'd always had help. So the idea of this being like the ultimate equalizer and you're not going to get your help anymore. So these people that hopefully will come out and thwart Solo and Jimmy and The Rock. As long... I think you can do all of that and have all this like mad stuff going on, and it ends with just Cody and Roman.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. The whole point is that everybody comes out because they want... Cody's going to beat Roman on his own with no help. So you can do all the stuff and without having... You know, because I think the argument might be if everybody runs out and everybody... You know, if like everybody was to do their finisher on Roman and then Cody pins him...
Yeah, exactly. That's worse.
So, but I think, yeah, it's all about context. And I think in this context, I'll put it this way. On Twitter, I've seen people who I would typically categorize as casual WWE people, more pro AEW people, not in a bad way, just it's their preference. And they've been like really giving props to The Rock for what we've been seeing. And none of them, who are the people who I would expect to be the first people to have a complaint, have said, oh, they better not bring out this person at WrestleMania, they better not do this. Like, everybody's kind of like,
let's just have this match. Yeah. And again, like, make the moment and the match as grandiose as you possibly can. We can spend 20 minutes getting to the point where, you know, you think, oh no, not this again. And like, there's a near fall of Solo gets involved or something before we get to the shenanigans. And then, you know, you've got the classic on your hand. I was just going to say, I think if it plays out exactly as you've just kind of laid it out, even though we know, it would still be so magical and the right thing to do that it would be incredible. That's just my opinion. Even if I could actually call that right now, who comes out and negates who, I'd still be totally here for it.
Because there's also a couple of other elements that could be, you know, for example, we've heard that Tama Tonga is coming to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Could he basically join the Bloodline at WrestleMania? Could he, like, what if he was to, on night one, help the heels beat the babyfaces and the Bloodline goes into night two with a new member and stronger?
Can you Roman know? Win?
Sorry?
Can Roman win?
Well, I think
night two.
I think Rock's gonna be. Oh, you mean on night two? Well,
yeah.
Before that, I think that. So I think Tama Tonga is a possibility. We should throw him out there. I also think the Austin thing is important because at WrestleMania 38, when he did that big moment with Vince, that's not really going to be replayed anymore or again.
No. Yeah.
So let's have him be part of a moment that's not doused in allegation controversy. Yeah, can Roman win? Yeah, he can win. I think, like last year, I remember, who said it? I can't remember if it was me that said it or Finn said it or we talked about it. But anyway, somebody somewhere said last year, you know, we need to wait 6 months, 9 months. And it was Meltzer. Meltzer said it. The measure of whether last year not allowing Cody to win is a mistake or not. And Meltzer said, we need to wait and see. Like, if what comes afterwards is better, then it wasn't a mistake. And if what comes afterwards isn't as good, then it was. And I think for a while, we were probably all secretly being like, Cody should have just fucking won it. Like, why have they kept it going? But now, it's like, thank God they didn't give it up when they did, because we've got this. I just don't know if you're going to have a more perfect moment than WrestleMania 40, Austin and Cena and all these people getting involved. I just don't know if you're going to have a better moment to do it than that. So,
yeah, I agree.
But if you were to ask me to put a bet on it, I would put a bet that Cody wins, but I wouldn't bet my house on it, put it that way.
Well, I'm gonna quickly run through the card because this might be the last chance we get to before we go. You know, and people here before the show. So just, you know, you can shoot me your thoughts as you have them. I have one that I want to start with. I really don't give a fuck about Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Not at all. And I'll tell you why. I like both men a lot. Huge Sami fan. Obviously, Gunther's work has been incredible. The odyssey that they're painting for this, like, I've seen Sami as the IC champion. Like, I get it that Gunther is a hard, you know, like a massive mountain to overcome, and, you know, what a feather in your cap it would be. But, like, they should be telling this story with Sami Zayn and the world title. I'm not saying they should do that now, but I'm just saying when the time comes, it should be about him finally getting his due and finally getting the world title and believing in himself in that last step. I feel like the story they're telling is wasted on this spot. And I have to believe that Lesnar was probably penciled in for Gunther and they've had to pivot. And I get that, but I still feel like, A, Sammy's not going to win. So, and if he does win, I'm not sure he's the guy that would benefit the most from picking up the IC strap again. Chad Gable probably would have benefited more. There's just a whole lot of things that aren't connecting with me for this, despite liking everyone who's involved.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I do find the story more interesting now that Chad Gable's kind of telling Sammy, you can't do it. And, you know,
that is a good wrinkle. That is a good wrinkle.
Good. But I mean, ultimately, I would prefer Chad Gable in this spot 100%. I think the Sammy thing, unfortunately, I don't think he is going to be world champion. I think that ship has sailed. I think that's passed. I think you had your light in the bottle one time, and I think that's gone. So I'm not against the idea of him winning the IC title, but I just think he's been quite cold as a character for a while. And
yeah, that's my take on it too. It's not as if like this is the same Sami Zayn that it was a year ago.
And I just don't, to be honest with you, I don't really want Gunther to lose. The problem with long title reigns is when you have long title reigns in wrestling, you always want the end of it to be as big as the title reign.
Mm-hmm.
That can't always happen, but I think that it's interesting to me because they're obviously, Chad Gable's not on the WrestleMania card. Otis is on NXT doing a tag thing with Tozawa to get on a Stand and Deliver. So they're keeping him involved in this situation, but I'm just curious where it goes. I'm curious if you know, Gable inadvertently cost Sammy the match or something. I would have preferred a triple threat because I think Gable deserves the spot on the card, but Sami Zayn's a bigger name, so he's there, but I hope he doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, you just made a good point there. There's no reason this shouldn't be a triple threat, especially if Gunther is retaining. I suppose their argument might be that he had a triple threat last year. That was pretty good. We got a six-pack tag team ladder match, which for my money, as a man who loves chaos, it's going to be great entertainment. I could see the Awesome Truth getting the victory there, if I'm honest. But I don't know, to be honest. Judgment Day could retain as well. It could go anyway, that sort of thing, couldn't it?
Personally, I would rather put pins in my eyes and see the Awesome Truth as tag champions.
No, me too. I'm just saying what I could see.
But yeah, no, I think if they were better in the ring, I think this would be a one-on-one match, but they're just not good enough. So that's why this is a six-team thing. It's going to be a forgettable thing, but it's just going to be... I would much rather see this as the big chaos match than two four-way tag team showcases, which they had last year.
Yes, but, I agree.
Know, they might still end up adding, but hopefully not. So, in terms of who wins, I think probably the most likely team are... I'm going to go with DIY.
I'd like to see Triple H. I could see Triple H booking that.
Yeah, there is guys. I think that, you know, R-Truth is 51 and Miz is 42. And together, they probably have like a 41 out of 100 score in 2K24. So... I think DIY would be my pick to do it if it was not Judgment Day.
I know we don't have long left before we get to Bayley, but I do want to say I think Bayley wins and I think Rhea retains.
Oh yeah, the Bayley interview is at the end of this, by the way. which also tells you, that I really had wished for Bayley. This meant more and was bigger, but it's unfortunately, and this is really harsh, and I don't mean it to be. A lot of people will probably choose to go to get a drink during this match.
Yeah, it should mean more, especially there's two really talented people involved.
Yeah, the story is not clicking for whatever reason.
No, I do think Bayley wins. And after watching Becky and Rhea this Monday, I did think, God, maybe Becky could win. But I just think I just think Rhea is kind of in a spot right now where she's almost untouchable. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's got to be certain people who keep their titles, and I hope that Rhea is one of them. And I think, you know, Becky said in an interview this week she thinks that there needs to be more stories without the title. So I think that could be this. But I mean, this is one where I could 100% see Becky winning it. But I think Rhea, I'm going to go with Rhea.
Yeah. Then we've got the Cold as Ice Usos match. I mean, they've done their best the last couple of weeks to try and drum this up. But, you know, I remember speaking to Jay and him talking about them having a Rock Hogan moment with all the bulbs flashing, and they just haven't got to that place. Jay, I guess, but, you know, what does it really matter who wins this one, to be honest?
Yeah, I wish this one meant more. I'm hoping that on the go home show they're going to have. I think I just need to accept they're not going to make the storyline make sense.
they would
give us a reason as to why Jimmy went back, because his whole thing was, I turned on you, Jay, because you were going to become the tribal chief and I didn't want you to, which is fine. I'm with that. but then he went back to the bloodline. So tell us why. Just give us a fake reason. Give us something. And while you're at it, phone Brock and ask why he attacked Cody Rhodes.
And who threw the pie at Kevin Owens? No, we could be here all
and
day.
What was in the lockbox? Well, no, actually, hindsight with the real stuff. I don't know what's in the lockbox.
I think the lockbox could be left alone. LA Knight and AJ Styles.
LA Knight.
It is LA Knight, isn't it? They're trying their best to make this interesting.
I think AJ Styles has been down to Horn and Barrett recently.
He's fucking huge, isn't he? I did think the home invasion was pretty cool, but I think you can tell AJ's on the final stretch of his career, personally.
Yeah. I think they've made this a little bit more interesting than I felt about it initially, so I will give them that. I'm more into it than I thought it was going to be.
Well, it's another one where I like both men involved. I just, you know, maybe the story hasn't, it's kind of come out of nowhere, right? Like, in a way, like, I know it hasn't, like, there'll be people on Twitter going, yeah, but they were all in the Roman match and rah, rah, and all of this. But still, you know, the amount of disdain they're displaying is a bit, you know, anyway. And then finally, we've obviously got Logan Paul in the triple threat with Randy and KO. Randy does need a US title. KO doesn't really. Is there a world where Logan Paul retains and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton get in each other's way and that leads to maybe what they're up to for the next few months? Maybe.
Yeah, I think Logan Paul's retaining. I don't think either of the guys, I don't think it's competitive they win. So I'm going to go with a Logan. I'm going with a lot of retaining here, which is weird.
Well, obviously, the main, we're saying the tag titles is going to change and we're saying Bayley's going to win and we're assuming that Cody's going to win. So it's like an even split, really.
Although I will say, out of the three tag titles, the Bayley, Io Sky, and the main event, if you were to ask me one that I could request the title doesn't change hands, I wouldn't put the belt on Bayley yet with Io Sky.
You wouldn't?
Well, just because it's a cold feud, and if she wins a cold feud, who cares? Whereas
who wins?
If you give Io the win and you somehow, because apparently like Meltzer reported today that there isn't going to be a women's tag title match on WrestleMania, but there will be like a damage control thing, like a six woman. So I don't know. If they can come up with stuff,
they're leaving that late in the day, aren't they?
I know. Well, Jade's appearing on SmackDown tonight, so.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Hang on. Let me digest this. I thought we were getting Bianca and Jade as a tag team challenging for the belts, is what I thought.
Well, it might be. I assume it's now going to be Bianca, Jade, and Naomi against Damage Control, which makes sense.
Well, I mean, it does, but, you know, it just devalues the tag belts, doesn't it? Like,
you need to value them first.
That's true. Speaking of value, I value your time, Kenneth. So I'm going to cut us loose there and allow Bayley to talk through everybody about Damage Control. Almost a perfect segue, in actual fact. Thank you very much for tuning in to Break It Down. Of course, WrestleMania goes down next week in Philadelphia, where Kenny and I will be present. And we should talk to you about the fallout from that trip and the event the following week. Until then, enjoy Bayley. Hey, Bayley. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm not bad, thank you very much. I'll tell you what I am. Very happy to see you getting a big WrestleMania spot. That's what I am. I feel like, because we spoke, I think, was before, not last Mania, the one before, or the one that you hosted, right? And that was a year where everyone was going, oh, Bayley needs something more. Now we got it. We've got a big story, big time matchup, all the talent, all the story. It's got a bit of everything. Like, worth the wait? Is that what we're going to say?
Worth the wait. I mean, I don't know if that's the right way to say it. I'm very grateful. I'm still bitter about that WrestleMania. You know, at least I could say that I've done everything. Not everyone could say that they hosted WrestleMania with Hulk Hogan and NWO and Titus O'Neil and the Bella Twins. Not everyone could say that, and I can. So one day I'll feel better about that, but maybe I'll feel better after I beat Io at WrestleMania.
Right, that's it. I mean, the cool thing about this too, obviously, is being Damage Control, your story, your group, getting to do that every week with, at the time, your friends, and having something culminate in such a major way with a Royal Rumble win, which also not everyone can say. I mean, quite the journey, but being able to craft a story to get to this mega moment, as we've just alluded to, must be something that you have wanted for a long time, to have this one-on-one spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say it wasn't my plan all along to get to WrestleMania? No, it's honestly like bigger than I could have ever dreamed. This Damage Control was just something I thought was going to be huge from the very beginning. Like, we had my plans for it was going to be like, we never had anything like it. We've seen women's trios groups before, but we've never seen like a huge faction before. Like, I would want to like five people from the start. Like, we've never seen a women's faction like that. We all go off and do this, but we're always one. Like, my dreams for it were crazy, and I thought they were going to be hard to pitch to people. But now in this moment, I see every step of the way was meant to be the way it was, you know, and every step of the way got us here and in these prime moments in our career for myself, Io, Dakota, and Asuka and Kairi. I feel like it's something that people are going to look back on no matter what we do after this, no matter what everyone does in their careers after this, this moment, Damage Control, in these months are going to be what people talk about when they talk about us.
I was going to say too, like, I'm so glad that we're here, but like, there was almost a period for Damage Control. I mean, I was so initially excited out of the gate, right? Like, just the talent that's grouped together. And then there was like maybe a part where it seemed Damage Control was on the end of everything, right? Like, you were kind of like not as dominant as I was hoping, right? And then it's kind of now we've come full circle, though. Was there some, like, you know, maybe frustration is the wrong word, I don't know, but like a period with Damage Control where you were thinking, ah, man, I hope this isn't quite what I thought?
Definitely, yeah. There was a time, like, I, even when the girls were the tag champions, where we just didn't feel important. And I was like, man, this is, I know you guys have the titles, but like, this is not at all what I envisioned for us. And I think we are, everything's being wasted right now. And that was our fault too. You know, the fans weren't connecting to us. They weren't buying into us. We just weren't used in the way that I thought we should be. But that was, to me, it was all on me. Like, I brought this group in and I put the pressure on me to be like, all right, we need to work on our chemistry. We need to hang out more outside of work. You know, we need to figure out what our thing is together. We need to start wearing matching colors. Like, what are we doing that? Like, what's Judgment Day doing that we're not, that we need to work on? And Dakota and I had a lot of conversations about that. We would text each other like, look, what, how are you feeling? Like, I'm so sorry. It's not. So it was a really rough period. But there was, to me, there was one time, I don't know what it was exactly, where I realized that like Io was being more and more herself. Like, I was seeing more of like Io, the person, and she's kind of just being goofy and cool. And just like, I think she felt comfortable. I can't imagine how hard it is to come over and speak a different language and not feel like you don't know who you could talk to. But I think once she realized she can trust us and we wanted the best for her, it was like she opened up. And to me, that's really what opened all of us up, and our chemistry became better. So it was like, now everyone is comfortable with each other. It takes a long time. It was much harder than I thought it was going to be, honestly. I thought we were going to come in and be dominant and like, all right, I got these talented girls and they want this just as bad as I do, and it's going to be great. But it just wasn't. And that's almost turned out better. You know, it just made us fight for what we really wanted and made us appreciate what we have now.
I was in Australia for Elimination Chamber, and Rhea said that she felt that her and Becky was main event worthy of one of the nights of WrestleMania. They've had quite a lot of, you know, time and spotlight on Mondays. You must have similar feelings that you would like to argue for yourself and Io.
I would never say that two women shouldn't be main eventing a WrestleMania, especially at the caliber of Rhea Ripley and Becky. Becky has had an insane career already, and Rhea, she's done, you know, her rise has been so quick. Fans love her, but she's still so young, Rhea. You got time to main event WrestleMania some other time, you know, because this year is me and Io's year. This year has been the role models here, starting at Royal Rumble, okay? And I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been fighting for this for a long time. Becky's had her main event spot, okay? So it's time for the role model, Ding Dong Hello Bailey, to take this main event spot. If you want, you guys can have the first night, and I'll take the second night. You know, we could do that. You never had two women main event both shows at WrestleMania. Why can't it be this year? It's the biggest WrestleMania of the year. With all due respect, I would like to take that spot. Yeah, Rhea, you're very young.
Yeah,
just give it time, sister.
Wait your turn. I did want to say about Damage Control too. Like, how did that come together just before War Games, where Asuka and Kairi came in? Because that was obviously like a great like addition to the story too, where it just, you know, I mean, obviously when you speak that Japanese line, that's killer. But that whole adding them into the mix, that kind of mirrors what you were just saying about becoming like a real dominant stable with all of these members, and, you know, adding them to is crazy in any context. So at what time did you realize it was possible that Kairi was coming back in, and then those thoughts start going?
I don't remember the actual timing of it, but once I knew what was happening, I was so blown away. Like, to me, Damage Control was going to be, and it started this way, was going to be bringing in girls that haven't had the opportunity yet on Raw and SmackDown to show that what they can do. So, like, when I wanted to bring two other girls in, like Io Dakota and two other girls, they were from NXT, because I thought that, like, it would refresh the roster and it would shake up the roster, and people would be like, oh damn, they've been hiding them in NXT this whole time. That was my goal, you know, and I wanted to see them take off, because I'm not going to be wrestling forever, but like these girls can go on and do it while I'm gone, you know? Mm. But when Asuka and Kairi came along, I'm like, holy crap, this is better than I could have ever imagined, because two of the most talented, decorated women's wrestlers on the planet and most well known, you know, and Kairi had left, did amazing stuff in Japan. She was wrestling all the time. So she honed her craft even more to come back. And Asuka is one of those legends that is like, she's my hero, dude. She's been wrestling for so long, and she could still go with anybody, and she outworks everybody. So I just felt honored that all these girls were going to be, I was going to be side by side with them. And there's no better group of girls that I could possibly ask for. And no one I ever saw being side by side with in my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm proud of that Damage Control could still hold strong with such a talented group of girls.
And pretty cool that you get to work War Games against Becky and Charlotte, such close friends of yours. Bianca, whose career you've been so influential on, and Shotzi getting a chance to shine on that stage.
Yeah.
Like, that really feels like stars aligned.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. We had Becky in the War Games before, and Bianca, I guess, too. But like both years, it was me and Bianca's story. It was Bianca versus Damage Control. Like, that's what brought us to War Games both years, you know? And some people get lost in like Becky being there and then Charlotte coming in, and now it's like, okay, now I have these history with these girls, and I have been a jerk to them, you know, when we came up together. But it was kind of like, I've created this monster and I'm gonna freaking attack my past with it, you know? So I think that was the coolest thing, and Bianca's just been there since day one and along for the ride the whole time, and kind of pushing us to our limits. It was like, all right, well, we got you last year, so what's better about this team now? It's like, well, we got Asuka and Kairi, so let me show you what we can do. Shotzi being in there, you know, I loved having Shotzi there because she's wild, you know. So I know that was a big deal for her, so it was nice to have her in there.
That's awesome. Speaking horsewomen business as well within there, talk to me about Mercedes Moné's debut. I know you were there.
Yeah.
I've watched it back, the atmosphere and all of that stuff. It must have just been awesome to see. You know, it's one thing being part of a big show, right? Like, we're talking about WrestleMania coming up, but that kind of show was for her. That's wild, right? That women can get out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she just, like, she deserves it. I mean, we all know everything she's done for the industry. And to me, it's like, it doesn't matter where she is or what country she is or what company she works for. She makes wrestling special because she's so passionate about it and she loves it so much. So just her being back in a ring, I think just brought the wrestling world together. And that's something I couldn't miss. You know, there's certain people in your life and in your career that you share moments with that are that bond you for life. And for us, that started from like the moment we met to our first practice match we had the second day we knew each other. And then to Brooklyn, it's like when you share those things together, it's like, all right, well, we're bonded for life and I will always be there for you. And so no matter where she is, I will always be there for her, just like she's been for me.
And again, I did want to move on. You said how great things are now and the job that Triple H is doing. It's horrible that kind of cloud of Vince McMahon just hangs over anything we talk about from that transition. But parking that, Triple H and the creative right now and how you're moving forward and where the company's at, that must be very cool to be a part of what people will look back on as one of the hottest times of the business.
Right. Yeah, it's I think about that all the time, how lucky I feel to be a part of it, just to be, you know, there while he's in this streak of changing the business and changing what our fans are used to seeing on TV, just even the little subtle things on TV, the changes that are happening and the progression of characters and the amount of different characters that you get to see every single week. I feel so grateful to be a part of it. But the fact that I'm a Royal Rumble winner and I'm having a title match at WrestleMania, like it's crazy and it's beautiful and it's refreshing. It's just like one of those things where you feel like you could trust the process. People right. say that all the time, trust the process. But it's like, I don't feel like it's ever going to pay off. And there has been times like that. But right now I trust Triple H and I trust him to not just for me do the best for my character and my story. Like he really has the best interest in everybody in the show and the product in WWE. And I don't know if it's because he's been there before or if he cares about it so much or he just like wants to approach it. I don't know what it is or a combination of everything, but this guy, I can, you know, lose every match every single year and know that like he's still got my back, you know. Mm-hmm.
Just to finish here, because I know I have to let you go, some quick fire ones. One, how nervous were you firing out the Japanese line on SmackDown? How much did you practice that?
I didn't practice at all. I know Japanese. I was very nervous.
Of course. As a man who comes from a place that cheered you regardless, you didn't get a say in it, is it nice to be cheered again?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I always felt like the fans and I always had a good time. It was just fun no matter what, whether they were booing me or not. Yeah, I guess it feels nice to kind of reciprocate that and be like, I like you too.
Yeah, thank you very much. Last one. I always liked Bailey to Belly. Why Roseplant? Why did you switch it up?
I mean, I still use the Belly to Belly, but I think like it was my finisher when I was on the Indies, and I mean, it's not like the easiest or the prettiest sometimes, but I don't see anybody else do it. So that was the thing. It's like everyone does a Belly to Belly, like not everybody, but you know, people do it, and it looks a little bit better. So let me go use this one from the Indies and pay a little homage to my Davina Rose days. And that's just where it came from. And it was time for a little change at that point.
I love it. Well, speaking of changes, there's going to be a change to the SmackDown Women's Champion at WrestleMania, perhaps, when you take on Io Sky in Philadelphia. See that transition? That was smooth, wasn't it?
Great, Rich.
Bailey, it is always a pleasure chatting to you. I know I have to let you go. So thank you very much for joining Daily Mail today. And can't wait to see what happens in Philly.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.